Order for Wednesday, April 29th. Welcome to the House Rules Committee. First, we're going to do introduction of measures. So I'm going to open a work session for the introduction of committee measures. I would accept a motion, Vice Chair Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to help open a work session. So I move LC 4247 be introduced as a committee measure.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved LC 4247 be introduced as a committee measure, and as with all introductions, voting in favor of introduction does not imply support nor opposition of the measure. So, yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would simply note that we've obviously been pikers this session. If there are only 4,200 LC drafts, there should be more than that by now.
Yes.
4,200.
I intend to vote for the motion.
Duly noted. As one of the people on the committee that knows what the word piker means, thank you. Anyone else?
Anyone else know what that term means, or yeah, anyone else?
Either.
Because I
discussion
don't know what
objections.
That
we can
talk about. Did we talk about the measure?
No, we're just, it's just an introduction.
Okay.
Any objections? If not, the LC is introduced, and I'll close the work session. And right now, I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 29. Erin, will you describe the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 29 establishes procedures for electing precinct committee persons, requires one precinct committee person for every 250 electors rather than one for every 500 who are registered in precinct, provides that write-in candidate may be eligible for election as a precinct committee member if there is no other candidate, requires write-in candidate to accept successful write-in candidacy before primary rather than after the election. There is a no revenue, no fiscal impact on the measure. It does come to you from your Senate with 18 ayes and 12 no votes.
So this is a public hearing. We don't plan to move the bill today. With that, Senator Riley, you would like to speak to the measure.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senator Chuck Riley from Senate District 15, Hillsborough, Cornelius, Forest Grove, and North Plains, and the longest-serving PCP of the Washington County Democrats, and one of the only two Democrats to vote against this bill in the Senate. And I came to give you my reasoning for that vote. In Washington County Democrats, we have several very good PCPs that never heard of the Washington County Democrats until they were elected PCPs by write-in, and we contacted them. They had not thought they were going to be write-in candidates, but they turned out to be, and we contacted them, and they said, oh, well, sure, why not? And they've turned out to be very good PCPs. This would shut off that avenue of getting new members, and I'm opposed for that reason. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I just want to make certain I understand. This bill closes off that possibility how?
The bill says that a write-in candidate must state before the election, 10 days before the election, that they're willing to serve, and if they don't know that they're going to be write-in candidates, they won't be doing that.
All right, so if I may, Madam Chair, yes. So you're referring to people whose neighbors thought they'd be good PCPs.
Mm-hmm.
They found that they'd gotten at least three write-in votes and then decided that they would accept the election.
That's correct.
No, they didn't know about it ahead of time.
Madam Chair, Representative Barnhart, that's correct.
Madam Chair, that's happened in Lane County a number of times during the time I've been paying attention.
Yes, Representative Rayfield.
And I just to make sure, this only applies to precinct committee people, correct?
Representative Hoyle and Representative Rayfield, thank you. That's exactly right.
So Senator Riley, so this the bill does say that that someone must declare an intent no later than the eighth day before the election date. So that's after the ballots are mailed and before the election. Person must request a declaration of intent for their write-in vote to be counted.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. With that, yes, Representative Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. Yeah, I find in Clackamas County we have trouble filling those PCP slots on both major parties.
Right.
And it's, in my view, nice to have those that get tossed in or join in at the last moment. So I appreciate your comments.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Kinnemer, that's right. And this would certainly shut off that. And as I said earlier, some of those people turn out to be the very best PCPs, and we don't want to shut off that avenue.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
With that, I would like to call up Art Harvey and Darren Robinson from Josephine and Harney County. Whoever would like to start.
Okay. Speaker Hoyle, members of the committee.
No, just Chair Hoyle.
Chair Hoyle, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Well, she's an ambitious person.
That is one
person.
Job I have no interest in.
Okay.
Too much responsibility.
thank you for allowing me to be here today. My name's Art Harvey, and I have had the pleasure of serving as county clerk for Josephine County. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Association of County Clerks to speak in support of Senate Bill 29. As I'm sure you're all aware, during the month of May and even-numbered years, the county clerks and elections officials of Oregon are charged with conducting primary elections. From an elections administration perspective, the precinct committee persons, or PCPs, are a large part of these primary elections. Senate Bill 29 would add significant efficiencies to and streamline the process of electing PCPs while maintaining the integrity of the positions. I'd like to walk through a few of the things this bill will do. If the number of candidates that file is greater than the number of positions available, that race would appear on the ballot. In other words, if it's a contested race, that race would appear on the ballot. If the number of candidates is equal to or less than the positions available, those positions would be deemed closed, and any remaining vacant positions would be available to write-in votes. For those interested in mounting a write-in campaign, they would file by the eighth day prior to an election, a declaration of write-in candidacy. Now, the eighth day is at least a week, and perhaps more than that, depending on the drop date of the mailing, after the ballots have been mailed. So people are very aware at that point that there is an election being conducted and that it is a primary election. Those folks who were interested would file a one-page document with us, a declaration of write-in campaign, saying that they intended to run in a particular precinct, and then that's all they would have to do. Using this system, that would keep over 85% of these PCP races accessible to a write-in candidacy, over 85%. I'd like to go through just quickly a few of the numbers from the May primary last year regarding PCPs. These are all statewide numbers. We had a total, this R's and D's, in the state of 16,534 PCP positions available for filing. We had 3,469 people file. That's 21%. We had 79% of these races were not filed for. Of those 16,534 positions, there were only 21 that were contested races. That's less than 0.2% of the overall total of these races. Now, the way the system is set up now, we are compelled to count all the write-in votes, whether they be for Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and we get all of those. In, again, the primary of 2014, we had a total of write-in votes cast of 29,250. Of those, 1,025 people got three votes or more, which means they were eligible to be elected if they return the certificate that we mailed to them. Of that, over 1,000, less than 50%, returned that certificate, 475 to be exact. So there is an immense amount of time, energy, and money spent on the write-in piece of electing PCPs. What this bill tries to do is streamline that, make it more efficient, save some money, and still, as I said earlier, still keeps this open to over 85% of those positions. Another thing this bill would do is it eliminates the gender designation. Right now we have committee man, committee woman. That is not anything we necessarily wanted in the bill. Legislative Council says that has to be in the bill because it's unconstitutional to have it the way it is. It eliminates the need for the clerks to mail out those write-in acceptance forms, and the reason for that is ahead of the election, the write-in candidate has filed the declaration, one-page document, that says, I'm going to mount a write-in campaign. So if that candidate files that form and they get their three votes or more, they are deemed elected and we just mail them the certificate. There'd be no need for them to return anything to our office. It adds a requirement for county clerks and elections officials. County clerks and elections officials would be required to publish and maintain a list of all PCPs on our websites. That is not required at this point. Now, while it's hard to put a number on it, we believe that this would save a significant amount of time and therefore a significant amount of money for the counties in processing these elections. Our estimates are somewhere around 75% of our time that we spend on PCPs would no longer be required if this bill were to pass. OACC believes that SB 29 represents a win-win for the major political parties, the clerks and elections officials, and the electors of Oregon. We understand that PCPs are the foundation of the major parties at the local level, and we believe that SB 29 maintains the integrity. It simply makes it a more efficient and cost-effective process to elect our PCPs. Oregon Association of County Clerks respectfully asks for your support for Senate Bill 29. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Well, first, we'll hear the second testimony, and then any questions?
I'm Darren Robinson, Harney County Clerk, and I just wanted to come to join Art on behalf of the Oregon Association of County Clerks and ask your support of Senate Bill 29. This will really simplify and make the process much more efficient than it currently is, and at a great cost savings to counties as well. So any questions as well?
Great. Any questions? Representative Rayfield, then Representative Smith-Warner.
Sorry. One of the first things so we have Section 2, Subsection 1B, basically line 13 and 14. Essentially, as it goes through and it says, if there is less than or equal to the number of positions for committee, precinct committee person in the precinct, the county clerk shall declare those positions closed. not later than 10 days after the deadline for filing a declaration of candidacy. The way that I read that is that if there are, you know, 10 positions open for committee persons in those districts, only 10 people, so let's say 10 people file, all of those peoples are declared, you will not accept any more candidates after the 10 days after, so no write-ins would be even available at that point to contest any of those folks.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, no, that 10 days, what the way that would work would be if the position is filed for, those are the positions that there would not be access to a write-in candidate. To use your example, if it was a vote for 10 and six people filed, the four positions that were not filed for would be accessible to a write-in campaign. The six positions that were filed for would not be accessible to a write-in campaign.
And so my follow-up, and that's exactly what I thought, and that's what causes me some of the greatest concerns about this bill, is if there are 10 positions available and 10 people file for them, 10 days after all 10 of those positions are closed and nobody can do a write-in to challenge any of those 10 people.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, that would be correct. I would add to that, though, I have been, I am a PCP as well, and I have been for over a decade, and I cannot remember, I cannot state this as fact because I haven't done the research, I cannot remember a write-in candidacy challenging a filed candidate and being successful. It just does not happen in these races. These races garner very few votes. The undervotes on these races is extremely high.
And then just
one more follow-up.
Yeah. And so then the other issue is notice to the potential electors, I guess, folks who you implement the system. Most folks aren't aware of a lot of these laws. What is your plan to notify the people in the communities that this is a new requirement, and how are they going to find out about that?
Well, I have thought this through. Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. I have thought this through for my county, and what I would suggest would be informational meetings with the parties. I personally meet with my parties very regularly anyway, so I would make sure they understood this and what they needed to do in order to comply.
Okay, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you both for coming and testifying on this. Being a county clerk, I know, is one of the most challenging jobs in state government, so thank you both for your willingness to continue doing it.
Thank you.
And this is one of those situations that I just listened to you and thought, oh, yeah, and those numbers did not surprise me yet hearing them. The low person, the thing about the PCPs that particularly surprised me was that how few of the write-ins even accept it. So that was really striking. So there's parts of this bill I like, and there's parts of this bill that trouble me. The part I think the basic premise of you fill these up and you're automatically, you know, if you file for them, I mean, anybody who's been active in a party at all, you know, there's always gaping holes. The goal is to always, you know, I have precincts in my district in, you know, super active Portland where I have no PCPs in my district still. So I know how hard that can be. And so I'm very supportive of the idea of you have fewer than the number listed, you get six people filed for 10, they get those positions. The part that I have a harder time with is the write-in provision, because I entirely get what you're trying to get, and I agree with the premise, but at the same time, it's not really a write-in. You know, it changes. I just worry about us changing what a write-in means in this kind of ballot versus other ones. So I just worry about that from a consistency perspective. Then the other thing that worries me, and I'm not sure, maybe I'm not getting to a question here, and I apologize, so I'll try to talk faster. That whole, the gender differentiation bothers me, because I know that it's Democratic National Committee rules. I'm not sure about Republican National Committee, but Democratic National Committee rules require that PCPs be gender balanced, that you have X number of female and X number of male. And so while I respect the LC's opinion about the constitutionality or lack thereof, you're going to get into the parties. It does them no service if you're electing a slate that they cannot utilize because of gender imbalance. So I guess the bigger issue, I think this is causing a bigger, should maybe cause a bigger conversation about the appropriate role of how do we deal with these elections, because they are so much different than the rest of the elections that you guys run. So I'm sorry that I could not get to a question there.
And I think maybe the question is, what about the requirement from the national parties that there be gender balance?
Chair Hoylman, members of the committee, I don't really, frankly, I don't feel qualified to answer that. I would think that the parties could change that rule should they choose to. But that's just off the cuff. I'm not certain of that.
But we'll work getting to that information.
Yeah.
I would say that the way these filings come in, typically, the parties are organizing these filings. That's why you only see 21 contested races in the whole state. They don't want contested races. The PCPs are, this process is a mechanism for the parties to recruit volunteers. That's, if it's distilled down to its essence, that's what this is. The parties do not want contested races because they want as many bodies as they can have. So that's why there's so few. So they organize this. And it's very common in my county for a particular precinct to maybe they fill up the women's side and can't fill up the men's, or vice versa. I guess the plus side of this change would be there would be no distinction there. If they had 10 slots, they could fill them with 8 women and 2 men, or vice versa.
Madam Chair, just
okay,
a quick follow-up.
Quick follow-up,
yeah.
And then
just another thing about the whole write-in versus not is another thing that I know, again, in the Democratic Party that you are allowed to do, is if you get more PCPs than there are slots for, you can be assigned to be a PCP to a neighboring precinct.
Correct.
So.
Correct.
So, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I think my last question was just answered. Let me ask the other two, if I may.
Yes.
I want to get to the same topic that Representative Rayfield, I think, was asking about, this idea of closing an election. Does that mean then that in a place where you, using your example of 6 filings in a precinct where there's 10 openings, does that mean that those 6 people's names will not appear on the ballot?
That, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, that is correct. They would not appear on the ballot.
Okay, so if I could follow up on that point. So that means that their neighbors won't know who's standing for election as a PCP, by looking at the ballot at least. They won't be able to find that out by looking at the ballot.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, that would be correct. However, one of the requirements should this bill pass is that every elections official in the state would have a complete and maintained updated list of PCPs on their website all the time.
And Madam Chair, that leads to my other question. Currently, the Central Committee has the authority to fill vacancies among the ranks of the PCPs, and at least in Lane County, that happens in the Democratic Party, that happens quite regularly. Is that changed at all by this bill? And if it isn't, how do you get those names so that you can keep your website up to date?
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, the same way we do now, when they appoint people, and in my county, probably a third of our PCPs have been appointed, and they notify us in writing, and we add them to the list.
May I? Final. Would you add the, ask, answer the first half of my question?
I'm sorry.
Change the rules around the appointment process by the Central Committee.
No, it does not.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Kenema.
Maybe I missed it in your presentation, but I see that it changes from one PCP position for each 500 electors to 250. And I guess I'm wondering about that, and also wondering about that in that, at least in my county, which is a large county, Clackamas County, we have a lot of unfilled PCP slots, and this is going to double them.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, it on the surface it looks that way, but because of the way the statute's currently written is it's one per every 500 or major fraction of one man and one woman. Since that designation goes away, changing it to 250 keeps everything where it is now as far as numbers.
Okay. I missed that.
Okay. Any other questions from this panel or comments? I will say, I just for the record, as a former party chair, it is true that we, as the parties on both sides, we work to fill the PCP positions because we want people involved in the party for volunteers. But there is also a couple of very important things that the precinct committee people do, including being the people that can vote on a replacement if somebody needs to be appointed, so they are able to put up the candidates for appointments of the county commission, really vital. And then also, again, serving, you know, having an option to serve as delegates to the national party or for the presidential delegates. So there are a number of other things. So it is, but from my perspective, anything that we can do to make it easier for more people to be engaged and involved, the better. But I would like to say thank you very much. I know that, as I think we spoke earlier, your work, you do incredible work and have great dedication to your jobs, and I want to thank you for coming so far. And with that, I'm going to close.
Chair Hoyle?
Yes.
Could I interject one other thing,
Absolutely.
Please? Okay, thank you very much. I forgot to mention this. The model we're using in our proposed write-in scenario is very, very similar to what is used currently by the Soil and Water Districts.
Oh, right.
So this isn't a brand new system. It's
not
used,
unprecedented.
No, it's yes. not. And I am also told it's very similar to what the state of Washington uses.
Oh, okay. So. Great.
Can I ask a quick question
yes.
about that? Thank you, Madam Chair. It's the if it fails, you pull them off. But the write-in is the write-in. Do ESDs get done with the write-in requirements or no?
It's Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. It's not ESD. It's the state Soil and Water District.
Okay.
And the person has to file. They have actually they have a shorter time period to file, but they have to file a declaration of write-in candidacy. And then those are the folks we look for when we're digging through the write-ins.
Good to know. Thank you.
All right. With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 29, and I will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 27, the Omnibus Clerk's Bill. Erin, would you describe the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 27 resolves certain contradictory provisions applicable to duties of county clerk. It eliminates biannual duty of county to examine financial books and papers of county clerk, clerk of county court, treasurer, and sheriff, requires purchaser to record share certificate of execution of sale and county clerk lien record. This measure has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and it comes to you from your Senate with 28 aye votes and 2 no votes.
Okay. Testimony on this bill.
Yes.
Please introduce yourself again for the record.
Thank you. Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is Art Harvey. I'm the county clerk for Josephine County. I'm here today representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. Thank you for the opportunity to appear today regarding Senate Bill 27. The Oregon Association of County Clerks supports SB 27,
the association's housekeeping bill. The proposed corrections resolve contradictions and repeal an outdated provision in the statutes and offer to complete the public notice requirements for the sheriff's sale of real property. The changes recommended are as follows. Counties can collect a $20 penalty if a document represented for recording does not comply with the first page requirement. What this fix would do is change the word "and" to "or," and is currently the common practice used by the counties. Repeals ORS 294.085, an outdated requirement for a county court or board of county commissioners to physically examine the books and papers that the county clerk of the county court exhibit the orders, vouchers, stubs, and warrants, along with all the other books and papers related to the county's financial affairs twice each year. The fee for solemnizing a marriage in ORS 205.320 is amended to match the fee in ORS 106.120 that was changed by House Bill 4066 last session.
Okay.
The time frame of 10 days in ORS 106.170 is amended to match the time frame of 5 calendar days in ORS 432.405 that became effective through House Bill 2093 in 2013. And the last one is for sheriff certificates of sale are issued by a sheriff's office to the highest bidder at a public auction in connection with a judicial foreclosure. Certificates issued to the purchaser at public auction are subject to a 180-day redemption period. Certificates of sale are not currently required to be recorded and are frequently assigned to a new purchaser. With most other assignments, the underlying right title of interest is already recorded. This amendment will align legislative intent with other statutes and require assignments to be accepted only when the certificates have been recorded. This will enhance constructive notice to those examining the public record. Oregon Association of County Clerks urges your support of Senate Bill 27.
Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Darren Robinson, Harney County Clerk and Vice Chair of the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee. I too ask for your support of Senate Bill 27, our housekeeping bill. I'd just like to touch on the repeal of ORS 294.085 and the outdated requirements regarding the review of the financial affairs. Most counties now have finance departments and such that manage the finances of the county, and clerks really no longer do that. And the finances are audited regularly by an outside auditor now. So it just really is an outdated statute that I think needs to be dealt with. And once again, ask for your support of Senate Bill 27. Thank you.
All right, Representative Kennemar.
I noticed the fee for solemnizing a marriage has gone up fourfold and wondered if you'd discuss that.
Madam Chair, Representative Kennemar, the fee is really what it was changed to last time. We didn't ask for the fee change. It came up to us in another bill. So we just were trying to clarify that the fee that is set now.
When was it set and by whom?
It was set by solemnizing a marriage. In House Bill 4066 last session.
Okay. That was in the House bill last session.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
I think this may, what I'm asking may be a substantive change. If I understood you correctly, currently the sheriff's certificate doesn't have to be recorded. If I understand this bill, it would require that it be recorded and prevent you from recording an assignment unless the previous certificate had been recorded.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, that is correct. What happens now
is there will be an option or an auction on a foreclosure, and the sheriff will issue this certificate. There's this 180-day period. That certificate, therefore, title on that property can change hands a number of times, and nobody knows about it. It's not part of the public record currently. This would rectify that.
Could I follow up? So, we're in an area that I don't know very much about. Why would that be valuable? That change, so to make it public by recording, why would that be useful?
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, it would give a good chain of title. Jim Smith sold it to Joan Smith, who sold it to Adam West, who it gives title companies like things like that when they're doing title searches and issuing title insurance.
I think you mean they don't like that.
Yeah, well, they don't like it the way it currently can be. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was my question.
Okay. Any other comments? Oh, yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Art, back to Section 2, the repeal of that. I just wanted to ask you, is that appropriate to our current situation in Josephine County? Does that work for us?
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, yes, it does. We have, for instance, we have our finance director who takes care of finances. The board designates via their appointments, finance director, treasurer, things like that. They designate their staff to do these functions. It's no longer, in most counties, it's no longer a function that the board and the clerk do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? All right, with that, we are in a work session. Is there objection, and I would accept a motion.
Madam Chair, are you interested in 27?
I am, sir.
Then I move Senate Bill 27 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved Senate Bill 27 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Is there any objection? Yes, Representative McClain, do you want me to call the roll or discussion?
No.
Okay, should I do a roll call?
Is that? No.
I know you're voting no. I just wonder if other people.
I don't think you have.
Do you note it for the record? Representative McClain is voting no. Are there any other no votes?
This is on 27, not 29.
27? Yes. Yes. All right. Seeing no other objections, the motion passes. Representative Barnhart, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Okay,
no
thank
problem.
You.
I was going to suggest that it go on the consent calendar, but the vote took care of that issue.
Okay. So with that, I'll close public hearing work session on Senate Bill 27 and open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 28, Clerk's Election Fixes. Erin, could you describe the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 28A clarifies that county clerk may use voter registration record rather than physical registration card to authenticate signatures. It permits elections officials to deliver form updating information on district board members by best form of communication. Clarifies that filing officer is responsible for release of public record information regarding challenge ballots, defines filing officer as Secretary of State for federal, statewide, state senator and representative elections, and county clerk as filing officer for county, city, or district elections. There is a no revenue, no fiscal impact on the measure. It does come to you from your Senate with 17 ayes and 13 no votes.
Sir, for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Darren Robinson, Harney County Clerk and Vice Chair of the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee. Thank you for today for the opportunity to appear to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 28A, our election housekeeping bill. These are just minor fixes in the statutes as recommended by the Oregon Association of County Clerks. Section 1 eliminates the mark a clerk makes on an absentee voter signature envelope. This process is currently not required on all other signature envelopes, and so this change would provide for consistent procedure in all election envelopes. Sections 2 and 3 are technical clarifications from a registration card to the term registration record. Due to the digital signatures available through the Department of Motor Vehicles that we currently use today as we do online voter registration. Section 4 eliminates the notice to districts requesting an updated information on the board members by certified mail. Counties will continue to use the best mode of communication available to the districts to update that information, such as regular mail, email, or fax. Section 5 includes amendments designating the filing officer responsible for responding to public records requests relating to the identity of elector whose ballot is challenged for specific reasons, rather than just the county clerk in all situations. Provides for the Secretary of State to release the information if request is related to a state or federal candidate, office, or measure, and the county clerk if it is a local office or measure. And with that, we ask for your support of Senate Bill 28.
Any questions? Yes, Representative Barnhart.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit slow here. You used the term filing officer here, and then I look at the very bottom of the bill and realize we're talking about the Secretary of State for some offices and the county clerk for the rest, yeah. I think we've already made all of these changes in other places, haven't we? The Secretary of State's already responsible for the ones that you have here as her responsibility.
Representative Hoyle, Representative Barnhart. It is correct, other than for the purpose of the release for challenged ballots. It doesn't speak specifically to that. And this clarifies who releases that information upon the deadline to release that information.
Okay, so if I could follow up. So what this really does is conform that piece to what we do on everything else involving the election.
Chair Hoyle, Representative Barnhart, said that is correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. With that, yes? Oh, sorry, I didn't see you.
Yes, so we are moving from written records to electronic records with this bill. Is that right?
Yeah. Chair Hoyle, Representative Kennemer, no, we're actually not moving away from a written record. We're just including an electronic record because we will still have handwritten voter registration cards available everywhere. This bill just speaks to the use of the digital signatures that we now receive from the Department of Motor Vehicles, so it allows for what we currently do.
Representative Kennemer?
I wonder if I could have a brief recess.
Absolutely. With that, we'll stand at ease. And other comments? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could ask one final question here on the relationship of the cards versus records, what ultimately does happen to the cards? Seems like they would be rendered passe here.
Chair Hoyle, Representative Wilson, I can speak for Harney County. We receive the written voter registration cards, and they are filed in our office. And they're kept and archived in our office. I can't really speak to what the others do. I believe the statute, and correct me if I'm wrong, they can be destroyed once they're scanned in after a certain point. Is that correct? Okay. Can you answer that?
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, I believe, and I can't quote you the statute, but I believe once they're scanned in, there's a retention of 2 years required. And on a paper card, any canceled voter is, I want to say 2 years, but it might be a strange, like 25 months or something like that. I can speak for Josephine County. We don't throw cards away. We've got cards going back forever. And I wouldn't be, clerks tend to be pack rats. I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the case in most counties.
Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up then. We're in the process of transferring then from paper to electronics then ultimately?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Wilson, I wouldn't say that we're transitioning. I guess with the passage of the motor voter, we are, but we have transitioned previously to that with online registration because we currently use the digital signature that DMV has when folks register online now. We will still allow a written, so we will still have paper voter registration available until the unforeseeable future. I can't imagine us not having that. This just allows for that, for the way we currently do it now with the online registration.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? With that, Representative Smith-Warner, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 28A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Smith-Warner has moved Senate Bill 28 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Zoe, would you please call the roll? Discussion. I forgot. Small D democratic process. Any discussion? Representative Wilson?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I've just got concerns about certain aspects of our statewide system. You know, you and I have had some engagements over that over time, and I just kind of have a go slow attitude and feel on some of the changes that we're making, some of the transitions, and don't feel real comfortable with some of that. You know, I'll be of a no vote today.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Wilson. Appreciate your concerns. All right. With that, any other discussion? Zoe, would you call the roll?
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Rayfield.
Yes.
Representative Nose.
Yes.
Representative McLean.
No.
Representative Kenmer.
No.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
No.
Chair Hoyle.
Yes. With that, the motion passes. Let's go 2 for 2. Representative Barnhart, would you like to carry Senate Bill 28 as well?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. Representative Barnhart will be the carrier. Close the public hearing work session on Senate Bill 28. With that, I will open a work session on House Bill 3483, Solemnization. Erin, will you describe the measure, please?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3483 was originally heard on March 23rd. It adds secular organizations and parties to marriage to the list of parties and entities authorized to solemnize marriage. We have a -3 amendment before you. It intends to clarify the relationship between the values and beliefs of a secular organization as it relates to religious authority. It removes parties to marriage as individuals able to solemnize their own marriage. It adds legislators or former members of the legislature to a list of individuals who may solemnize a marriage. There is a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the measure and the -3 amendments.
Okay. I would accept a motion for the -3 amendments.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -3 amendment to House Bill 3483.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner has moved to adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 3483. Is there discussion on the amendment?
No.
As opposed to the main motion. Representative McLean and Representative Gilliam.
Madam Chair, I'll support the amendment because it makes a bad bill better. It's still a bad bill.
Thank you. Representative Gilliam.
Do we have a printed copy of the -3s?
We do.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. With that, yes.
It would be useful if we had just a moment to see how these two fit together.
Okay.
Erin,
would you describe the amendment?
What the amendment does, and there is a hand-engrossed version that I will hand you right now.
Did not get carried over from our last meeting.
And essentially what it does is it just does three things. It removes the section that allows individuals who are getting married to solemnize their own marriages. It adds the legislators and former legislators as individuals who may solemnize a marriage. And it adds language with the intent of clarifying the values and of a secular organization and not necessarily equating them equally to a religious organization or belief. Those are the three things it's intended to do. The Hand and Gross version in front of you inserts that language into the measure so you can see how it now will read and be in statute.
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Madam Chair, I'm a little bit concerned about the way this thing has come together. Could I describe my concern? Yep. Thank you. Under line 11 on this on the original bill, I think it's line 11. It says marriages may be solemnized by, and then there's a B and so forth listing. And E says secular organizations whose members subscribe to secular values, beliefs, and practices and that are not affiliated with or controlled by a church or a particular religious authority. That looks like a definition rather than an indication of who may be solemnized a marriage. And then the next one, F, actually says the celebrant or officiant of any secular organization described in paragraph E of this subsection is authorized by the secular organization to solemnize marriages or. It looks to me like we've got a definition mixed up in the list of who can solemnize marriages. And it may be fine, but it's at least it's clumsy.
So given the concerns of the committee, and I apologize to those people that came and to see this move, I think that having those concerns addressed with the amendment before we adopt the amendment would be a good idea.
Madam Chair, we've got a motion on the
floor. We do have a motion on the floor. So with that, if Representative Smith-Warner were to rescind her motion.
Madam Chair, I rescind my motion to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3483.
Representative Smith-Warner has rescinded her motion to adopt the Dash 3s.
So, and to make it clear, yes. If I may, I think that somewhere in here it makes sense to stick in a definition of secular organization, but not in the list of marriages may be solemnized by. And then when you say marriages may be solemnized by, one of the items is a celebrant or officiant of a secular organization described in this definition. I think it's just a drafting error, but it's one of those things that
if we're going to move a bill, I think we should get it right.
I think we should too.
And we are not under a deadline, so we will work with the drafter to on a Dash 4 that is cleaner, less clumsy, and then bring this forward for a public hearing and work session on Monday. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your willingness to be flexible in getting this right. I want to be clear without being verbose that my reservations are not minor.
I appreciate that. I was speaking to Representative Barnhart's, but thank you very much for saying so, and I appreciate that. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3483 and carry it over till May 4th. We will not have a meeting this Friday. But we will please plan to come to meet on the Friday after Friday, May 8th. We will have a committee hearing on Friday, May 8th. With that, our meeting is adjourned. With that, our meeting is adjourned.